Now we're going to read from the book of Galatians in a few moments, Galatians chapter 5. If you have a Bible or have access to a Bible somehow, you're welcome to get that out. But before we read, I did want to begin with a question. So this morning we're going to talk a little bit about freedom. And when I say freedom, what do you think about? So if you're from India, maybe you're thinking it's Freedom Day, or another word we could use is Independence Day on August the 15th. Yeah, that was right. If you're someone else, when I think about freedom, one of the places I might go is Mel Gibson's 1995 movie Braveheart. So this William Wallace, who wanted the Scottish people to be free, and he will fight, and he will even give his life so that the people he loves and cherishes will have the freedom they so much want. Or some of us might think about the famous speech, Martin Luther King Jr., 1963, the I Have a Dream speech. The speech ends with, free at last, thank God Almighty we are free at last. Or I'm sure some of us, maybe many of us, all of us thinking about yesterday and Remembrance Day, the terrible awfulness of war. At least when I'm hearing about World War I through some of our kids recently and what they're learning, it's worse than we can imagine what happens in war. And so we hold that in tension with unbelievable freedoms we have because people endured that. And as I think about these kinds of things, I am still asking, what is freedom? Now, I know last week Pastor Sandeep was here from New Life Church, and he talked about freedom from the earlier part of Galatians chapter 5. I'm so thankful he was here, and you welcomed him. You were hospitable toward him, so thank you for that. And I don't want to, of course, mimic what he was saying or say the same thing he was saying last week, but I do want to piggyback on his message because, you know, one message on freedom is probably not enough for us because the word or the concept is so important in our lives, our culture, but also in the Bible and in this part of Galatians. So I can't really talk about the end of Galatians chapter 5 and the work of the Spirit without talking a little bit about freedom. So we're going to spend a second Sunday trying to unpack it, and then are we able to live in the freedom that God has for us? So Elsie, let me invite you up to come and read from Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26.
Galatians 5, 13 to 26. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, I've been thinking a lot this past week, how am I going to talk about freedom in the way that's going to connect with us? So I'm hoping this will be helpful, but I recognize that not everything I do and not every idea I have in a sermon is helpful. So this may not be for some of us. But I do need at least one volunteer to help me this morning to think about freedom. And you're not really going to be, there's nothing crazy this morning, but I just need one person who might be willing to come up and be part of this little, just kind of trying to explain freedom. So I thought I saw a hand there. Oh, Jacqueline. Thanks so much. So, if you want to sit down, you can. Then I'll just use this chair. That's okay. So I was thinking, what is freedom, or what's the moment where we would say that is freedom, right? So, Jacqueline, I'm going to give you a number of things that you can choose to eat this morning, right? So if I just give you one apple to choose from, and you were to choose an apple, are you free? Okay. And then if I were to give you a second apple and say, well, you could have both, but I'm just going to ask you to have one of the apples. If you were to choose the one of the apples, would you be free? Limited. Okay. Oh, okay. Well, at least to start with, you could have one. All right. So then let's say, okay, well, how will we just keep it? Let's keep it here. Then if I were to give you a banana or two bananas, and I said, well, you might, for you or your family, want all of them, but I'm just going to ask you to choose one. Are you free? Or what is the moment of freedom? Is it this moment when you have the choice? Is it more choices the better? Is that freedom? Or is it the actual acting, choosing, picking? And then I could say, well, we have apples and bananas, but we also have a few chocolate bars. So, now what does freedom look like? Or what is the moment of freedom? Well, sure, you can say what.
It's my action.
The action.
Ability to choose.
The ability to choose. Which I think a lot of us would concur with. So if you want to, you can take one. You don't have to take one, but if you want to take one, just to kind of engage that free choice you have. And then I want to say thank you for being part of this little. What do you call this? Not really an object lesson, but. Now, that's sometimes what I do, too. I'm going to have a chocolate bar. I think if I have an apple, it all cancels out. But I'm not sure if that's true. So I want to keep thinking with you this morning. And this is, again, maybe it's helpful, maybe it's not. But I want to think with you a little bit about what is freedom. And just start kind of reflecting on that. And maybe during the message or afterwards, some of us might have a kind of an epiphany. I thought it was this. It is that. That is what freedom is. Or I thought it was that, but it's maybe something looking a little bit different. Many people throughout history have talked about freedom. I'm just going to mention a couple of them to you this morning. I'm thinking this morning about a guy named John Locke. I don't know much about John Locke, but I read this little quote from him. 17th century English thinker and writer who said, freedom, we have to distinguish between liberty and license. Liberty is freedom to do what we ought to do, And license is a freedom to do what we want to do. And I think, at least for me, that's helpful. Because I think a lot, at least for me, I think I and others think freedom is license. It's sort of equated to whatever I want to do, that's what I get to do, that's freedom. Or I'm thinking this morning also about Rabbi Jonathan Sacks, who recently won the Templeton Prize in 2016. In his acceptance speech, he said, "A free society is a moral achievement. Without self-restraint, without the capacity to defer the gratification of instincts, and without the habits of heart and deed that we call virtues, we will eventually lose our freedom." Which sounds like a good phrase and a good quote. And I'm intrigued that freedom is connected with words like self-restraint and virtues and habits. That tells me that this rabbi is not thinking freedom is whatever you want, but freedom has to be connected with other things in our lives. And a number of these things that I'm mentioning this morning, John Locke and Rabbi Sacks, connect with me. I think they connect with the Bible's vision of freedom. But the Bible also has a very unique vision of freedom. As we read in Galatians 5 and as we're moving through the book of Galatians, I want to suggest that for the Bible, freedom is a good thing. Freedom is also a gift that God gives us through Jesus Christ. And freedom becomes also the goal of the Christian life, or certainly the goal of the book of Galatians, which some of us might think, I never thought of the Christian life like that. I always thought God wanted to box us in. He doesn't want us to be free. He wants to box us in and make us do things we really don't want to do. But as we're moving through Galatians, certainly at the beginning of chapter 5, what Pastor Sandeep was talking about last week Sunday, Galatians 5 verse 1, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. So don't let yourselves again be burdened by a yoke of slavery. Now this freedom, just maybe very obviously, but I feel need to say it this morning, is not just a kind of a magical freedom that happens to us. You know, if you're a human being, if you're sitting in church this morning, if you're hearing my words, somehow freedom magically happens to you. This is the freedom that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. This door we've had by the cross this past fall is not here any longer, but I want to say it's a freedom that comes as we step through the door of faith, or by faith step through the door that leads us into the life that God has for us. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I want to say how important it is for us to personalize that. Not just kind of generic out there, but this past week I was talking with one of you, and you were sharing with me, this person was sharing with me, how they had learned recently to take a scripture, a verse in the Bible, read it, know it, study it, and then make it personal to them, which I thought was so amazing. It's not just the Bible out there, but they were showing me with a certain psalm how this psalm they'd use in their morning devotions, morning time with God, not just, read the psalm, study it, know it, but take those verses and put their own name in it or their own experience into it. So this morning, I'm hoping you could say with me, it is for freedom that Christ has set me free. It's for freedom that Christ has set Johannes free, or Isaac, or Grace, or Marcos, or Inga, and the list could go on. I'm hoping you can put your name there. And not just our name individually, but I also want to say, it's for freedom that Christ has set Nelson Avenue free. Very specifically, this church community, that we think specific names in those kinds of verses. And as we move through Galatians chapter 5, the Bible is giving us a vision of what this freedom looks like. As Elsie was reading, as she began reading verse 13, this passage we're looking at this morning begins with by saying, "My brothers and sisters, you were called to be free." But don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. Which helps me understand what freedom is. Freedom is never, as far as I can tell, a blanket no to everything or a blanket yes to everything. It seems to be that in the description of what freedom is, there is a freedom from something and always a freedom for something. So in this verse, it's freedom from indulging the flesh and it's freedom for serving one another humbly in love. And, you know, William Wallace, just going back to that movie Braveheart, he was saying no to a certain reality and saying yes to another reality. You know, even if you're someone this morning who says, well, I think freedom is I get to do whatever I want, then you're saying, I don't want anyone to tell me what to do. I'm saying no to anyone telling me what to do and saying yes to I get to do whatever I want. If that's your definition of freedom, you're still saying no and yes. And this morning, the no and the yes is described by using the phrase the flesh and the spirit. And however you define freedom this morning, I think you can find, if we were to talk together, I think you could find a category, maybe your own category, but I want to suggest we're always saying no, we're always saying yes. So this morning, the Bible's saying if you want the freedom that Christ has set you free for, you have to say no, or you're called to say no to the flesh, which is not a way, the flesh is not the Bible's way of saying we're against the physical creation, or we're against the body, we're against physical human beings, but it's the Bible's way of talking about, and I'm referring this morning to this dark power, or this sinister influence, or almost like a personalized evil force. It is the sinful heart going its own way. And this sinful heart, as our passage says, it has desires. It has longings. It has wants, which I don't want to say is necessarily a bad thing. Desires are not bad things, because both the flesh, we're going to find out, and the spirit has desires or longings or wants. We cannot be human beings without desires and longings and wants. The question always is the desire you have, is it a good desire or a bad desire? Because not every desire we have is a good desire. Now, I hope you would agree with that. I hope you'd say, yeah, that makes sense. But I think it's a word that our society needs to hear. Not every desire we have is a good desire. Which makes me also think that the Christian life, although I think we should be renewed in our minds, I think there's an intellectual thinking that should happen in the Christian faith, and we have things to offer as a Christian church intellectually. We don't throw our minds away. As I read this passage this morning, I think about desires and longings. I'm thinking that the Christian faith is not mostly about thinking or even maybe about feeling. It's mostly about these desires that are, the passage seems to indicate, kind of waging war inside of us. The conflict is at the level of wanting or desiring or longing. And as the Bible is introducing, our passage introduces this flesh, it's saying the flesh has desires. Those desires can be indulged and gratified. And then it gives us this rather long list of like 15 acts of the flesh. If the desires of the flesh are being indulged and gratified, then here's what this life looks like. And We could go through, and later on the service, I want to read again that list. But there's a few of those desires up there, those acts of the flesh, sexual immorality and fits of rage and drunkenness, and we could go on. I have to be honest with you, this is a list of things I never want to read. I never want to spend much time on these kinds of lists, especially in a nice group like the church, because, well, we all know this, don't we? And none of us is doing this, are we? And let's just get on to the good stuff. I mean, let's not spend our time on these, what some of you might call these lists of vices and sins. And I don't want to spend a lot of time on the list this morning. What I do want to point out, as I was looking at this list and going over these words, for me, at least my major takeaway from the list is, this list is all about self. It's all about gratifying the self. It's all about total orientation on the self. And the Bible is trying to be frank and realistic with us and saying to us, and this is the way I'm going to put it this morning, a little differently than our passage, if we indulge in these kinds of things, we will slowly but surely end up in the abyss of the self. Or, and pardon me if the language is too strong, in the hell of the self. If we follow this way of desiring and longing and living, we're going to end up in the hell of death and slavery in this life. And I just have to think about the last few weeks of the news that's coming out about people, and I'm not going to mention names this morning, you know those names, in Hollywood or politics, all kinds of accusations going on. And I'm thinking people who live according to the acts of the flesh are living a life of death and slavery, not just for themselves, but especially for those they sin against. People who live by the flesh, and we see it around us, but not just around us, also in us. Because whenever we hear these names or we hear these stories, I'm hoping for those of us who follow Jesus, we might say, that's what some of us were like. And that's what some of us maybe are still like. You know, it's sometimes me too. Not sometimes it's me too. I have also been harassed or attacked, or I've also been taken advantage, as some of these people have been. But also, for Christians, we might say, that's me too. I was also at one time, or maybe still am right now, like those we're reading about in the newspapers and hearing about in the news. So I never want to read these lists with a sense of pride or arrogance, or, oh, those people out there. Those people that maybe we could even name, but they're out there, how bad they are. I don't think the Bible ever does that. There's always a sense, some of you were like this, some of us were like this, some of us are maybe still like this, still following these desires and habits. But thankfully, God is calling us in a different direction. He's calling us to a different kind of life. This morning, before I talk about this other kind of life or this vision of freedom that God has for us, I do feel led to say, if there's anyone this morning who says, I'm on that list. As Elsie was reading that list, I'm finding myself on or in that list again. I want to call you, God helping you, and God helping me, and God helping us away from that lifestyle, away from those desires of the flesh, for your sake, but also for the sake of others who are in the path of our desires in the flesh. And we could go into all kinds of examples. The only example I'll mention this morning is just my life and how I can tell. I sometimes, you know, I get upset. I get frustrated. And I know that there are moments in my life where it's been like, as the Bible says, it's been like a fit of rage. And this is always my experience. Out comes the fit of rage. Out comes, oh, I needed to say this. I'm so upset. And I can tell it's wreaking havoc. All those who are in the wake, typically in the family. And then I go back and I think about it. And my always, whenever I'm doing this, I'm thinking, oh, it feels so good. It feels so right. This is my freedom to say what I think because I've been hurt. But usually what happens afterwards, I think, it was all about me. It was all about me. It was all about I was hurt and I was upset and I'm going to let you have it. But it was all about me. And when I go through this list, I think it's, when I read it, I think it's all about me. People, us included, who live in this lifestyle, if we dig down, why is this happening? Why am I doing these things? It's all about me. Which I'm so thankful the Bible gives us another way. God has another way for us to live, and it's not all about me, but it's all about what the Spirit is doing in me or through me. So in contrast to the flesh, we have the Spirit. The Spirit of God, this life in the Spirit. The Spirit is a spirit of freedom. As we read in this passage, as I just think about the whole of Galatians chapter 5, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. And what's the vision of freedom? It's life in the Spirit. We also know from other verses like 2 Corinthians 3, the Lord is a Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And God gives us His Spirit, which is God's empowering presence in our lives. Not a power that blows up, not a power for the sake of power, but always a power that brings the presence of God to transform and bless and help and renew and revive. And as I think about, in a few moments, we're going to read it again, this description of life in the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit. I think in contrast to the acts of the flesh, which are all selfish, the fruit of the Spirit is so focused on other people. Life in the Spirit is always about doing what the Spirit prompts me to do, calling me to do, a certain kind of Spirit-empowered life lived in community, but also for the sake of community. So as the Bible gives us a vision of freedom, it's never about wild excess or doing whatever I want or following whatever I think is right. But it's always a freedom empowered by, led by God's Spirit into a certain kind of life. And I have to confess this morning that I've typically thought about this description of life in the Spirit or the fruit of the Spirit as sort of an add-on. Like Jesus dies and rises and the message goes out and then I believe and I'm saved. And then, well, if you think it's good, then, you know, listen to this description of life in the Spirit, almost like icing on the cake. But the fruit of the Spirit is not icing on the cake. It's part of the cake. It's part of the life that God has for us. So where there is no fruit of the Spirit, we should be asking ourselves, am I living the life that God has called me to live in Jesus Christ? I want to just read, and maybe we can do it together this morning. I know Elsie's already read those, this description of the fruit of the Spirit. But let me just put it up on the. Yeah, thanks, Tom. And we're just gonna. There's a little sort of some fancy font, but it's the same words. So let's just read these nine qualities again. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I'm suggesting to us this morning that this life is primarily a life lived, empowered by the Spirit, but lived for others. So I'm not thinking what I want, what's good for me, all my desires and longings, but I'm thinking about my desires and longings for the sake of others that will free me up to live the life I'm supposed to live, called to live, invited to live, but also will free other people up to live the life that God has called them to live. If the Bible is true, and if the story of the Bible is true, then at the very center of the Bible story is this giving of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And I want to suggest that the giving of Jesus, his sacrifice on the cross, his dying for the sake of the world, is an embodiment of the fruit of the Spirit. It is an embodiment of the life of freedom. It may not look like that to us, but I suggest that Jesus giving his life was the free act of God. God freely sent his Son, and Jesus freely gave his life, and it leads to freedom for all who will hear, all who will believe. So in the death of Jesus, we have the love of God shown for us. We read in the Bible that Jesus went to the cross for the joy set before him. The act of Jesus through his death brings peace between us and God, but also meant to bring peace between us and each other. The death of Jesus on the cross shows the patience of God towards sin and rebellion. It's an act of kindness and mercy. It looks awful and horrible, but it is a good act. Someone sacrificing for others. Jesus responds with gentleness and forgiveness. It is the sign of God's faithfulness to his covenant promises. And when Jesus was attacked and abused and hit, he doesn't hit back. He shows an amazing amount of self-control. So as I think about the death and the life of Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit, this is a description of who Christ is, but also who Christ calls us to be, empowered by his Spirit. Now some of you this morning might still say, I don't like that. Like, I don't like this vision of freedom you're giving me, or the Bible's given me. I still want to do whatever I want to do. I want to go wherever my heart tells me to go. And you may do that. I don't know. You might still think, I'm not buying in this morning. But I would suggest to you, whether this morning or in the future, if you live the life following the flesh, following the deeds of the flesh, following the desires of the flesh, you will find, whether this morning or in the future, you're not really living. You aren't really free. You are handcuffed. You are tied down. You are not living the life that God has created you to live. And my suggestion and my longing is that we hear Jesus and the Spirit this morning not tying us up. Oh, you have to be loving. You can't hate others. No, he's trying to free us up. Love. Seek to be peaceful with all people. Seek to be gentle. Seek to be good. Seek to be kind. And see what that does in your life, but also the lives of those around you. And we're going to sing a song in response in a few moments. And I think we're going to go out the service with this song. The song is Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. We've sung it before. As we sing it this morning, as we go out from the service with a song, worship team, if you want to come up, men's chorus, you can set up here. I know I've changed a few things here on the stage for you, so please set up as you need to. But this morning, as we sing this song, I want to invite you to sing it with a few questions in your mind. One question might be, where are you not free this morning? So where are you feeling that your life your heart, your soul is not free? And where are you longing? And I'm trusting by God's Spirit leading us, where do you want to be free? In terms of living the life God has called you to live, created you to live. Jesus Christ gave his life that we might live. And as we sing the song, and I'm a little partial this morning, I love songs by Keith and Kristen Getty. I love their music. I find their songs rich and meaty and full. But as I read this through the lyrics this past week, I realized this phrase, come and make us whole. We're going to sing that in a few moments. Holy Spirit, come and make us whole, for me, is a vision of full human life. And then, maybe not surprising, but I realized, aspects of the fruit of the Spirit are in this song. Like joy and love and kindness and gentleness and peace. And then we're also going to sing this morning, not just about me, but also about us. So I hope you find yourself, when we're talking about me and I, as we sing that, but also as we sing about us, that Christ has come to set me free, but also he's come to set us as a church community free, both at the same time. It's for freedom that Christ has set me and us free to live life in and by his Spirit.